This is Landon Law of Covering the Bills podcast, and today I am doing something that I have been looking forward to for a long time, talking about Josh Allen and just Josh Allen. Well, not just Josh Allen, but Josh Allen, who he is, where he needs to improve as a player, where he is already good, or, you know, I don't want to say he's perfect in any one area, but where his strengths are, what I think the offense will look like this year, and just everything Josh Allen. So before we do that, I want to go over a little bit of Bills news. So a few things. It's been confirmed John Feliciano is out 8 to 12 weeks with a torn pectoral, which leaves a sizable hole in the Bills offensive line. I think we got the depth to fill it, so it shouldn't be too much of a problem. You got Darrell Williams there, or you could go, you know, Connor Williams, or maybe it's Dermott, I don't remember. You got a few guys, or you could even shove Ford to right guard and then play Inseki or Darrell Williams there instead at right tackle. Though I think they'll probably just put in Darrell Williams, it'd be my bet. He's been the most proven player of them all right now. You could also throw in Spencer Long there if you wanted to. A veteran who could get things done for a little while. So there's that. And then another thing, good news. Cyrian Neal has tested negative for coronavirus, which means he is not one of the... He was on the COVID list. And so he's negative, which is great. That means one less guy to worry about. Bills sent their rookies home the other day because they had 5 positive tests throughout the building. One to ensure that they could contain the virus, and it looks like they have. Although we'll find out a little bit more on Sunday when the rest of the test results get in. So there's that. Big news outside division, well, in the division, but outside the Bills. C.J. Mosley has opted out of the 2020 season, so that's just one more obstacle out of the Bills' way for this season. That hurts them a lot. I think almost as much as the Jamal Adams trade will hurts them for this year, because I think Mosley is one of those great all-around linebackers who can do everything. If you remember, in the first 3 quarters of last year's week 1, the game where we came back and won at the very end against the Jets, C.J. Mosley was everywhere. He had a pick 6 in that game. He just played everywhere in that game, and then he got hurt, and immediately the Bills' offense started to get going. And part of that was Singletary being Singletary. But also, it really helped that Mosley was out of the field and they had their backup middle linebacker in. So that's good for the Bills. It really helps our chances. I don't think the Jets are going to be much of a problem, but, you know, just in case. And then, let's see, what else? I know there was one other thing I wanted to talk about. Let's see if I can remember it. This is something that isn't really Bills related, but sorry, guys. Antonio Brown has been suspended 8 games. So they know how long he's going to be out for, which I think someone, if he's right and he doesn't want to retire, I think someone's going to eventually grab him. He's just too good to not have on a team. I don't want it to be the Bills. I think he's too much of a problem, but someone will. Maybe Seattle if they're really gearing up for a run, or I could even see like New England if they wanted to help Cam Newton out and bring him back. So there's a few people that might go and get him. Okay, so we've caught up a little bit on the Bills news. Training camp's still going on. We haven't heard too much out of it. I'm kind of disappointed about that, honestly. I know some places they have videos of all the players throwing around and everything. I'd want to see something with the Bills and Stephon Diggs, who just entered the building today. But haven't seen anything yet. Hopefully we hear more tomorrow. And so we'll be back in a minute or two with the Josh Allen segment. All right, I'm back with the next segment on Josh Allen. So what I kind of want to talk about with Josh Allen is, you know, obviously he was a 7th overall pick for the Bills in 2018. And he's hopefully the Bills franchise quarterback, fingers crossed. And so I want to talk about, you know, where he is as a player right now, what he needs to do better at, what he really needs to work on for the upcoming season, where his strengths are, where they lie, and then kind of just round up as to, you know, where I think Josh Allen's going to be as a player by the end of this year, and where we're going to be talking about him in the likes of, you know, like, are we going to be talking about him in the likes of Mahomes, or is he going to be like a Stafford, or God forbid, Bortles, or Trubisky? So I'll talk about where I think I see him, and, you know, how I think he's going to do this year, and everything like that. So let's get into it. So first of all, what Josh Allen does well. Josh made one of the biggest leaps I've ever seen from a year one to a year two quarterback in terms of accuracy in the short to intermediate, range. And I was really impressed with that, you know, how he did, you know, in the short to intermediate range, how his accuracy was. Ball placement was a lot better this year than it was last year. He wasn't just firing balls. It was actually some touch on him, though I think he still needs to work on touch a little bit. I'll get into that later. Now, obviously, you can't talk about Josh Allen's strengths without talking about how he is as a runner. You know, he's really good at extending plays and running around. And then if he has to, be his own check down and, you know, run for first downs, run for yardage. And you got to use that with Josh as a weapon. You know, you can't, I don't think you can make him one-dimensional quite yet. Like, I think he'd take the path of, like, a Russell Wilson-esque player, or more like maybe like a Cam Newton, where early in their career, you know, they're running a little bit more while they still figure out how to, you know, throw in the league. And then once they figure that out, they can stop running quite as much and they start extending plays and then using their arm to make big plays. That's kind of where I hope Josh Allen becomes. And so his short and intermediate game took a huge leap this year. You know, he's really did well with that, which I think it helped that he had people who could release quickly this year, unlike last year when you had, the likes of Andre Holmes and Jeremy Curley, freaking Calvin Benjamin. So, he's really good. You know, I think Josh Allen is underrated when he's in the pocket, like, as in, like, feeling pressure, moving around, and then escaping and finding open men. I think he's underrated in that aspect. A lot of people don't think his pocket presence is good. I think it's actually fantastic. Like, I'd say if I was ranking it, probably be, like, 12th or 13th in the league. Like, I think he has really solid pocket presence and awareness to where everyone is, where the pressure is coming from. Another thing that's really good is since he's so big and strong, he's crazy good at avoiding tacklers and getting spinning out of things, which is, you know, it's funny because a lot of the stuff I'm talking about is great, but it's also can be a detriment depending on what happens with later in the play. And so, yeah, I think Josh is a good mobile quarterback with a big arm who can work the short to intermediate game, but his deep ball needs some work. And he's top 10 thrower when throwing on the run, I think. His throw on the run is fantastic. Like, I don't know of many other players who have a better throw on the run. Like, Rodgers, probably. There's probably 8 or 9 guys that are better than him at that, but he's probably top 12, top 10 in that area. Throw on the run and his, like, short and mostly intermediate accuracy is fantastic for this year. Last year was a real struggle, but this year he really took a leap there. And so, and then I'll kind of talk about how this all plays into his cons and his lower parts of his game next. So, I'll be back in a second. All right, so here we are on the cons of Josh Allen. And I'm going to be talking about quite a bit of stuff just because sometimes it's easier to see people's flaws than their strengths. Unless you see a lot of them. And I don't think in 2 years you can definitely say that Josh Allen's fantastic at one thing or another. You got to just look at everything with, you know, a full appreciation, I guess, of what he can do right now. And, maybe his game is going to be completely different in 4 years from now. You know, maybe he'll be a pocket passer, but I somehow doubt it. here's where I am with the cons of Josh Allen. First things first, this is one that a lot of people talk about, and I think he did a lot better with, but his hero ball mentality, which there's a part of me that loves it, because it's kind of like the don't never give up on any play, and it causes some insane plays, like the fourth and one against the Cowboys, or the fourth and one against the Patriots on those QB sneaks, where it looks like he's not going to get it, and then he powers through and gets it, or the Cowboys where he picks up a fumble, Cam Newton, and, you know, dives for that first down. But there's also times where it hurts him, where he's trying to do everything at once, and it ends up bad, either a pick, a stupid pick, or a fumble, or a big hit that he shouldn't take. Sometimes he just needs to learn, okay, this play is dead, throw the ball away, or slide, find a way to stop a true negative play from happening. Because there's going to be times where he just has no chance. You know, the offensive line gets blown up and there's three guys in the backfield. And that's the point where you throw the ball away or you just go down and don't take the massive hit that you're about to get. And then so on, kind of on top of that, something else he really needs to work on is his... I don't know how to explain this 100%, but his reading of a defense needs to be a little bit more in rhythm with the rest of the team. Sometimes, if you watch film, Josh is too fast to go through his read, and then he'll miss big plays that could be there, or even easy first down reads. There's a play against the Giants where I'm pretty sure he ended up throwing the ball to Beasley for like 4 yards. And he had Isaiah McKenzie on a post pattern from a slot area open for like an easy 10 to 15 yard gain for a first down. And he glanced at McKenzie, saw he wasn't open right away, and then went to Beasley. And I know it kind of sounds like I'm saying don't look through your reads, but I'm saying when he wasn't pressured at the time. So there's times where I wish he would do just a quick glance back to see, hey, maybe this guy, because he kind of sprung open right away, or he didn't spring open right away, and Josh immediately moved on. And I know it's kind of hard because you can't lock onto a player either, but I wish he would sometimes stay on for a player just a second longer sometimes, just to kind of see, you know, hey, but this guy going to pop open? Because if it's this zone coverage, he might pop open dead center, you know, which he did, and Josh didn't see him and went to Beasley for 4 yards or whatever. And then another thing Josh really needs to work on is fumbling from when he's running. A lot of times he would... I think it's just a concentration issue with him. He's so focused on where is the first down marker, where is this next guy coming from. He's not focusing on, okay, the ball has to be tight. And I think he's running around a little bit, and he holds the ball a little bit loose, and then it gets poked out, and it's a fumble. Or sometimes when he's escaping sacks in the pocket, he's holding the ball out in one hand, like Shady McCoy. And although I didn't notice a lot of fumbles from that, it concerns me, as I feel like any player could just tap that ball and that's out on the ground, you know, behind the line of scrimmage for, you know, possibly a touchdown because no one's around but Josh. And so that's kind of where I am with that. You know, he's got to really work on that. That's really important. And then obviously the big obvious one that everyone's talking about, deep ball accuracy. And I'll be honest, this is an important problem, but one that's, I think, is a bit overblown. Part of the problem was he had one deep threat. His deep threat was his number one receiver. So his number one receiver is always covered by their best player. And there's times when Josh misses him. Like in the Giants game, he missed two deep touchdowns, first to Brown, then to Roberts. He just overthrew him. And I think part of that's Josh has to contain his excitement for that play. Because I'm sure he looks up, sees Brown has, you know, 3 yards on his man, and he's like, oh yeah, let's go, touchdown, gets real hyped, and just launches that thing. And that's something that he needs to work on as far as controlling his emotions a little bit in those type of plays. And, you know, channeling his, you know, calm down, you know, got to hit the throw first type of thing before you celebrate. Kind of, he's almost celebrating too early, I think. And so he's thinking about it too much. The reason I say this is out of proportion is, like I said before, his deep threat, John Brown, was his number one receiver the entire year. And I know Cole Beasley is a good slot, and he didn't have a bad, you know, group of receivers around him. It's just, there was no, like, no number one, and that number one becomes so crucial, because with Diggs now, you have Diggs as number one, taking up that number one corner spot. And then you have Brown against a number two corner. So now Allen, who's comfortable throwing to Allen, geez, oh, Josh is comfortable throwing to Brown. He's now going to be against a team's number two cornerback, which is even more important and even more useful. And now, you know, you got two deep outs on the outside with Diggs and Brown, and now that's going to open up Knox and Beasley in the middle. So just why I think Josh Allen's prime for a big year, because on any given play, odds are someone's open. You know, between Diggs, Brown, and Beasley, that route running and speed, someone's going to be open on those plays. And then you still have Knox, a physical nightmare. Fantastic players all around him. Singletary and Moss are both good players. So that's why I would say, you know, like, this is why I'm saying maybe not an MVP, but I could see Josh being in the top 14 to 12 quarterbacks by the end of the year. And so, yeah, the hope is now that he can, you know, work on his weaknesses, deep ball accuracy, fumbling, his, you know, timing with his receivers, and just knowing when plays are dead. And I think if he can fix those, he can become a really good quarterback. Because to me, his processor's fine. It's not really the problem. He has the arm to be a little bit late with some throws, so it's not as big of a problem as, you know, maybe you wish he would go a little bit, throw a little bit earlier, or, you know, like, read defense a little bit quicker. But that's something that'll come with time, and I think by year, like, end of year three, year four is normally when it clicks for quarterbacks. That, you know, like, remember Alex Smith from years ago? He was terrible in San Francisco, and then he finally started clicking, and then, boom, you know, he's, you know, a good quarterback. He could read defenses. Now, it's not exactly the same. You know, Allen's way more talented, obviously. But, yeah, so that's the cons of Josh Allen. Hope you guys enjoyed listening. See ya.